Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, writes political economics for the journal editorial page based in London. And I go to the New Year's turn for the Boris Johnson government and climate change. You will recall at the end of 2021, there was a gathering of the princes and princesses of the earth, the leadership, in Glasgow, Scotland, to discuss climate change and what must be done. Joseph Sternberg writes a column about this in these last holidays, in which he reminds all of us that Boris Johnson got out front of everyone, making large promises about zero, net zero carbon dioxide emissions by such and such a date, plunging controversy upon his own government because of what was called Boilergate. And Joe will explain. However, here we are now that we've come to our senses in the new year, and we're looking out at severe price hikes in natural gas and other energy sources in all of Europe, not just the UK. And Joe, a very good evening to you. This isn't time for that German word Schadenfreude. There's genuine analysis here about how the governments are reacting to facts on the ground. When Boris Johnson made those promises in October, do you measure that he would have anticipated these price hikes in home heating and other energy sources in the UK? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. No, I don't think that he did see it coming, and that's why climate politics is entering such a fascinating stage as we head into 2022. I mean, 21 was the year of the big promises, especially ahead of Glasgow, and things like Boris Johnson's net zero pledge for the UK. And my theory is that 2022 is going to be the year when reality will start reasserting itself. And I think that a lot of this agenda is already running into big political problems here in the UK, related to a bunch of factors, one of which is the immediate energy crisis the country is suffering, as households are finding that they're going to likely have to pay much higher prices for electricity and natural gas this winter than they had anticipated. That is always a political pain point for any government. And then, I think that Boris's government already is showing signs that they're discovering belatedly the practical difficulties of a lot of elements of this agenda, and how difficult it will be for them to regulate for all of that, and then also how difficult it will be for them to impose those kinds of costs on the economy. And so time after time, we're just starting to see reversals quietly, sometimes bigger, sometimes smaller, of some of the core elements of that net zero pledge.
What is Boilergate, Joe?
Boilergate is one of the best examples of this. A cornerstone of the net zero program was an aspiration to try to get households to remove the gas-fired boilers that they use for central heating and hot water in favor of heat pumps and other environmentally friendly options. And this program already is in trouble. It is very unpopular because people are realizing how expensive it is going to be for individual households, or how expensive it would be for the government to subsidize the replacement of these gas-fired boilers in so many millions of homes. I mean, 86% of British households depend on gas-fired boilers for their heating and hot water right now. So this was never going to be a small task. And it's turning out to be politically impossible. And I think the combination of factors at work here is so telling. It's a combination of the cost, and it's also a combination of the distribution of that cost. That's was really one of the first policies that was going to shift the cost of environmental measures directly onto households in a big one-off way. And wouldn't you know, it's turning out that a lot of households and the politicians who represent them in parliament are not enthusiastic about having to pay that bill.
So what we have here is a puzzle about how Boris Johnson can walk it back. He's already determined he will. Or is this spontaneity on his part? Does he make it up as he goes along?
Well, what seems to be happening is that at the top level, Boris Johnson himself and members of his cabinet, they do actually still seem to believe a certain amount of this stuff. And to hear them talk, you would not think that the enthusiasm for net zero or other parts of the environmental agenda is waning at all. And yet, when it comes time for specific government ministries to draft specific regulations to do any of this, it all starts coming apart. I mean, one example you can point to is that they've made aggressive pledges about the introduction of electric vehicles and encouraging the uptake of that. And then they go to write a regulation that would have required owners of parking lots to install charging points so that people can actually charge the electronic vehicles while they're out shopping and the like. Wouldn't you know, that runs into trouble. And it turns out that they can't implement that rule in the way that they originally wanted to, because they get pushback from business groups who say that the cost of installing these things in a small business parking lot would just be too high. So it's been a bunch of little things like that where there's this grand top line ambition. And then as soon as they start trying to do all of the little pieces that have to fall into place for that agenda to work, they run into trouble.
The puzzle now, Joe, it gets deeper, because not only did Boris Johnson make promises he cannot live up to, but also the European Union has reversed march. I'd like to know what the proper metaphor is for what we learn from a most recent editorial at the Wall Street Journal entitled A European Revelation on Climate. Boris Johnson is reading this about the EU that he left. The EU has made a decision that nuclear energy and natural gas are green technologies. I read the paragraph. Wonder of wonders, nuclear and natural gas make the cut for what is green and sustainable. The draft taxonomy from the EU, released late on New Year's Eve, deems investment in nuclear power sustainable as long as the investment is made before 2045 and a plan is in place to dispose of the waste. The draft also includes natural gas power plants built by 2030. Subject to emissions limits, and as long as they replace heavier emitting plants. Did Boris Johnson know this was happening? Because it looks like the EU has made it easy for Macron and made Boris Johnson into foolishness.
Well, again, this is just one of those classic issues of reality intruding. I mean, what we're talking about here is what classifies as a green technology when you're doing green investment. And the European Union has come up with what they're calling a taxonomy here to actually define what those green technologies are, because they're going to be doing a lot of environment-based infrastructure spending by governments. And they also wanted to offer guidance to private sector investors like pension funds. And remember, this kind mobilizing this kind of green investment was a major accomplishment, supposedly, of COP26, the big climate summit last year in Glasgow. And sure enough, they discovered that really the green technologies that are available are nuclear power, even though a lot of environmental activists hate it, because nuclear is capable of delivering steady, reliable electricity with no carbon emissions. And, you know, natural gas also makes the cut, because even though it's a fossil fuel, it emits much less carbon dioxide than the coal that a lot of other Europeans, including the Germans, have been emitting all along. So I think that, you know, this is just a fascinating example, again, of reality intruding. As soon as they try to translate these lofty ambitions into something that you can actually do, that has an odd way of focusing people's minds on these things.
I come to an additional puzzle. This from last August, Reuters. California energy regulators approved energy efficiency standards aimed at vastly expanding the use of electric appliances for space and water heating in new homes. in a shift away from using fossil fuels to heat and cool buildings. The California Energy Commission said that revised building code would support the state's efforts to combat global warming by slashing greenhouse gases. How are they going to do this? They're going to forbid the building of homes that use natural gas after 2023. Now, Joe, what this means is that the EU has gotten out front not only of the United Kingdom, Boilergate, but also California. Do we have a scorecard to keep score here? Because this is getting confusing.
Well, I think that, again, it's an issue of which are the parts of the world where reality is a little further along in terms of intruding into some of these calculations. And right now, for a bunch of reasons, that does actually, and surprisingly, seem to be the EU. Because I think that certainly what the EU noticed is that if you look at the U.S. as a whole, the transition to natural gas, especially in our electric power grid over the past 30 or 40 years, has really been revolutionary in terms of reducing carbon dioxide emissions. So, I mean, either you're serious about doing that, in which case you should be looking at natural gas as an important component of providing reliable power that is still relatively carbon efficient, or you're not serious about doing that. And I think that we're discovering who are the serious people, and right now it does not appear to be the UK or the Californians.
I'm speaking with Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics about the twists and turns of energy policy in the UK. However, if that was all Boris Johnson had to worry about, he would be partying. That's a reference to what we're about to talk about. Boris Johnson is in trouble with his own party and also the opposition because of parties that may not have taken place, we're not sure, a year past in and around Downing Street. When we come back, why is Boris in trouble and does he like it and does this sustain him? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Mash.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to Ramp.com and love finance again.